Amen. We may even see that in God's house. Wow. Isn't it him? Yeah. Don't ever forget it. It's not the devil being kind to you. He doesn't have a kind bone in his body. Even the smallest bone. It's not kind. He's a very wicked devil. So it's the goodness of God. He's so faithful to us. Turn to your neighbor, splash them with love. Splash them. If you were in last midweek Bible study, you will see that by now you should be filled and brimming over and be splashing people with love. Splash them, see? I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to welcome everyone. Thank you, everyone, joining us online. If nobody splash you. You need to go listen to that. I listened to it twice. Go back and listen to that message. By now, you should be splashing people with love. You're overflowing. You're brimming over. You're so wet. You know, like a dog goes out into the rain, comes back and shakes itself, and all the water is splashing. That's the picture I had in my mind. Splash. Amen. Amen. Welcome, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to our women. Happy Mother's Day. Okay, man, you can smile at them. I know our senior pastor is going to do that later, but happy Mother's Day to our women. Amen. I want us to take our confession together, and then we'll get into the word. You can be seated as we do it. It will be on our screen. Let's go. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, Passover, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. There is no one like the God of Israel who rides across the heavens to help me. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before me, and he will say, destroy. I am helped, favored, and blessed. The Lord is my saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil in my going out and coming in. He is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor, and I soak up his mercy and grace. Praise God. I am helped, favored, and blessed. This is my year of the incredible. My incredible praise to my incredible God is provoking incredible miracles in my life. Strange things, remarkable things, extraordinary things, astonishing things, and unimaginable things are all lined up for me in this season. The story and glory of my life today will be improbable, amazing, unthinkable, and uncommon in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2026 is my year of nonstop laughter, celebrations unlimited, unending festivities, and round-the-clock jubilation. Adversity will expire, and I will recover. God will have the last laugh and the final say. I'm laughing today, tomorrow, and the day after. Look what the Lord has done. There is no expiration on his promise now. Sorrow is destroyed. Failure is forgotten. Anxiety is vanquished. Fear is defeated. Setback is sent back. Bad news is still news. Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Laugh with me. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this season, it's shifting. And there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. God said, he's given me treasures hidden in the darkness and secret places of the earth. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me from bitter waters in Marah to pleasant streams in Elim. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From forsaken to Hephzibah, and from rejected to Beulah. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From beggar to ruler, from loner to owner, from supplanter to contender. In this season, it's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped. The curse is broken. And my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. I speak life. Lazarus, come forth. I speak life to you. Dry bones, come alive. I speak life to every part of my body and my mind. Come alive. I speak life to you. Cells, vessels, nerves, tissues, organs, systems, limbs, and joints. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. I speak life to you, dreams, womb, ventures, investments, treasures, properties, ministry, family, partnerships. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go ahead, speak life. I speak life on Abundant Life International Church Commission to our global ministry in Ghana, in Nigeria, in Pakistan, in India. I speak life to all our children, the life of God, the Zoe life of God. Life, life, life in the name of Jesus. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, pass over, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Stand up, give the Lord a good clap offering. I want you to stand up. Lift your hands, stand up, give him praise. Lord, what a word. What a word, Father. Hallelujah. It's your word. And we bask in the power of it. Transfer of power. Amen. We may be seated in God's house. The power of God is here. There's one of the social media things that is being sent out right now in preparation for Columbus. And I was watching it yesterday. It was about maybe 2 minutes. And in that, It's a clip of our senior pastor saying he read and the power of God was there to heal. You know, where it was about that story where the lepers brought in, no, not the lepers, when the four men brought in their friend. But there's this clip, a two-minute clip, and it says the power of God is there to heal. When you read this, it doesn't do too well. You don't feel that power when you read it silently, that is within your mind. But when you read it and speak it out loud, there is a disbursement of power. Amen. Then when you do it together in church, there is a multiplication of that. It's the dunamis. That's that miraculous power of God is just dispersed. And just suddenly you're awake in your spirit, man. And it's like, come, which devil? Come, anyone, come. I will finish you today. That's the way you feel. By the time you finish it, strange things, miraculous things, astonishing things, my do-over, makeover, flyover. You finish that. Your wood must be really wet if you have not caught fire by the time you finish reading this thing. It's just so much power. Once the word of God, because it is sourced from the power of God, you just sense so much going on. Amen. All right. Welcome, everyone. 12:18, and we haven't even started the word. So I'll see which part the Lord will have us minister. I want to say happy Mother's Day again to all our women. To all those who are biological, adoptive mothers, stepmothers, aunties. Let me see, I wrote them down so I won't forget. Mentors, grandmothers, stepmothers, godmothers. Today I want to actually appreciate grandmothers. I don't know, just in my spirit to appreciate grandmothers. There's a role they play. Some of them do raise the kids by themselves for different reasons. But even those who do not totally raise the kids, there's something about grandmothers, especially the ones who know the Lord. They're such pillars and such, they're just there. Raising these kids, telling them, put your eyes, put your focus on the Lord. Doing what even the busy mothers cannot do. Mothers are rushing in and out, you know, trying to finish work. These grandmothers, many retired, it's like, okay, I'll take care of it. If you're a grandmother, raise your hand. Let's see. We appreciate and we honor you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for continuing to raise the next generation. You didn't only raise yours, now you're raising the one after you. And some people are, you even have great grandchildren and you're doing that as well. The Lord sees, he will remember. Amen. Amen. But to all our ladies, today is your day and we wish you happy Mother's Day. Amen. Amen. So today, my mom may be watching and may not be watching because there are conflicting things going on today, different things they're doing at home. But she'll be 84 next month and I don't want to forget. Amen. She is a mother of mothers. And I honor you, Mom. Thank you so much, so much for your selflessness. None of her kids, grandkids, and so many people who are not her biological kids. Oh my gosh, she's raised an army of people. I mean, people fly in from different parts of the world just to go see her. And where she is so far, it's like, how do you get people to travel three hours to just go? She'll just send you pictures. This person came. He's like, why now? Nobody has come to see me. But you, they will fly. They will try. It's because she's so full of life and love. And we honor you today. We rise up. We call you blessed, Mom. Thank you. Thank you so much for your selflessness. That sacrifice, she sacrificed so much for us. And the Lord has kept her alive and in good health. And we celebrate you today. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to speak on what I call the woman who births God's will. The woman who births, that is you deliver, you birth God's will. Today I want us to focus on God himself. And we will kind of come in as we can as women. but really about him today. It's really about him. And sometimes I'm there wondering, as I was preparing this message, it dawned on me that he doesn't need our help to be God, you know. He's God. He can do without us. He just chose not to do without us. And so when you isolate him and give him his glory and give him his due and just keep him there and start to just focus on him, and it's like, Father, how is it going today? What do you need? How can I be of service to you? Because God has a will, God has desires, and God has things he wants to accomplish. Now, we want to talk about the woman who has considered it and decided that I will birth it for you. I will carry it, I will conceive it, I will carry it to term and birth it for you. And we're going to look at a few women because we're 12:23 now and we want to wrap up quickly. Let's start with the fact that God's will happen. If he says this is what he wants, there's no debate about it. You might decide to partner with him. If he comes to you and you say no, he's next to Laura. Laura, no, Laura. But as for God, that will happen. In Ezekiel 12:25, he says, "For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass." There's no debate about it. He doesn't ask your permission for it to come to pass. He just does what he wants to do. So I started, as the Lord was showing this to me, I realized that I was receiving it and documenting it in kind of business terms or corporate terms. That's the way it came to me. So bear with me, but I will make sure it's understandable because there's a teaching grace here by the Holy Spirit. So when we would sit down at work in the hospital or wherever it is you work, all of us, regardless of whether you are doing it in business, you are in the marketplace, or you actually are in a live market, like some of us, if you grew up in Nigeria, I grew up in Nigeria, and my grandmother had a stall. She had her own stall. She sold kola nuts, and she did a wholesale, and then she did the ones that she put on, that she did retail. She did both. And you could be there, or you could own, say, like an agency where you take care of disabled kids, or you could own a nursing agency, or you could be a nurse in a hospital or in a rehab, or you could be a doctor, or you could be an accountant, or you could be a stay-at-home mom. Everyone is solving problems. This is just the way it works. There's always a problem that needs a solution. Now, when God originally created us, there were no problems. There was already the streams and the rivers, gold, everything man needed, Adam and Eve needed, was there. But after, they fell and there was sin, problems got introduced. And the important thing I want to start from is from God. God had a problem. Not an unsolvable problem, because for God, nothing is unsolvable, but he had a problem. He had a human race problem. Mm-hmm. When he created the human race, he created his own family. They were supposed to be his family. He created them, gave them everything, gave them wealth, gave them good health, everything. Then he will come in the evenings, kind of fellowship with them, talk with them. This was his dream. He wanted to have children. So I want to let you know today that you are not a number. God actually knows your name. He longed for you before you showed up.
Amen. Yes.
He really, really loves you. It's not just love like, okay, we have children in Africa. How many? No. He knows the boy, the girl, their age, where they live. He knows them so much so that he gave them guardian angels before they were born. They were already in God's mind and heart. And they came through a human to the earth. And the minute they showed up, the angels surrounded them. Each child, each person born of God has a guardian angel. The Bible says they behold God's face 24/7. And they're supposed to protect you, preserve you. He loves you that much. God loves you.
Amen.
It's a deep statement. God loves me. And I'm not just one of the pack. So that was his plan.
Yeah.
This huge, humongous family, billions of people, that would be his family. Then the devil came and messed it up. And Adam and Eve kind of played into his hands and kind of messed it all up. That's what happened. So now God had a problem. He had a human race problem. What is the problem statement? So this is the part I say, I might do a little corporate speak, or there is always a problem statement. And for those in research, there's always like, okay, what's hypothesis? And then they do the research and see if it really matched. So God's problem statement, I have created the human race, they are corrupted, and they're going to hell. That's the problem statement. They're going to hell. All of them, with no exception. They are all going to hell. That's the problem statement. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. All. It's not, well, about 98.2% of them sin. No, all have sinned. And God is so holy, he cannot have children that are unholy. Even though he loves you so much, it's just the way God is. He's holy. He cannot behold sin, and he can't fellowship with sin. So that's the problem. God's got a problem. Now, there are two ways to solve it. Is let them all die and go to hell, the whole lot of them, foolish people. Let them just all go die. Or let's solve it. So God always goes, and you find as a human that we kind of mimic God. As I was studying this, I realized that as I went through this, I realized this is actually how we solve issues. So first you have to determine what is the problem you are trying to solve. Sometimes people come to you, I want you to buy this for me. You say, hold on, what really were you trying to achieve? Then you may discuss with them and find out that, okay, I know what you want to achieve, but there are five different ways, and the one you chose is not the best. Let's do this. So God had a problem statement. He stated it. Man is going to hell. The human race, all of them, without fail, all of them, they're going. So what was the solution? Something had to remove the sin away from them. Something had to wash it away. And it's not something that will wash it for one, because now you see there are billions of us on earth right now, almost 9 billion currently living on earth. Think of all those who had come before us. And after you go, how many people will come? So it cannot be. See, this is how the Lord has thought through it. We need a solution that will remove this sin, because when the sin is removed, then they're holy, then I have my family back. But the solution has to make them completely forever clean, because they can't be clean today and then tomorrow they are not. I can't go back and forth. This is it. We got to clean it. So he's looking for a solution that will take care of it, that will completely pay the debt, because now man is in a huge debt of sin. So he's thinking about that, and then he's looked at it without the shedding of blood. There's no cleansing or release from sin. So the blood has to be shed. Well, it cannot be the blood of bulls and goats and rams and sheep. Try that. That didn't work. So it's got to be human blood. But the problem with the human blood is all of them have sinned. So there is no human blood that you are going to present that will be adequate to solve the problem. What is the problem statement? The whole human race has sinned and is going to hell. The solution is remove the sin from them. There's only one way you can pay for it completely, is through blood. And you need human blood, because they are humans. They themselves are not sheep. It has to be like for like. So, okay, so God is thinking through all of this, and he says human. But all these humans that I've created, all the people in heaven, or the individuals in heaven are spirits. None of them can solve it, because they're not humans. Angels can't, because they're not humans. Has to be a human. So then this next problem is, where do we find a human that has not sinned? That's another problem. God has to think through that. It's like, okay, I'm the only person who is sinless. So it has to be a God-human. Okay, a God-human. So how can it be a God-human? How do we... God does not have sexual relations with humans. It's forbidden. So how do we do it? Well, the first thing is we need a human seed or unit of life, which is an egg. And men don't carry eggs, so it has to be a female Adam. So how do we create a God man? Because that God man then, when the blood is shed, is going to be sinless. So God has another problem statement. How do we create a God man? Who will go for us? The word says I'll go. Okay, then that means we're going to have a super... This cannot be natural. So it's going to be supernatural. The power of God upon a human egg. Then we will have a God man whose blood will be holy. The problem, though, is we need a woman. We can't have a man. It has to be a female human, a woman. Who will go for us? Who's going to carry, who's going to allow their egg to be overshadowed by God and then conceive that and carry that to term and deliver and raise and nurture and carry all the way and support all the way till they're able to die and shed that blood, the blood which will then wipe away the sin so that the human race is not going to hell. Now, you know, no human thinks like this. Only God himself can think like this. It's too way above the way we would think. But it's very clear, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So now we need a human, a sinless human, a God human, a God human. Think about it. A God human. You know, there is a man living in the community of God right now. His name is Jesus. The only thing he doesn't have is blood, because he poured out his blood for us and poured it before the throne. But he is God man, even today, and he's still interceding for us. So think about it. All the things that have to happen to solve this one problem. Who will carry this embryo that is a combination of God and man? And that's why we're talking today, the woman who births God's will. Because it couldn't be a man. It had to be a woman. And there are many problem statements God has like that, that he has solutions to, that only human and sometimes only women can carry and birth. There's just so many like that. Where are the women, though, who will birth it? So that's the question. Who will birth God's will? So God knows the problem. God knows the solution to the problem. God knows how to get it done, but he can't get it done without a woman. Period. That's it. Very clear. It has to be a human female. Let's talk about how he got this done. I'm going to do a series of names that you know, but may have not thought about them that way. Let's go to Anna the prophetess. Anna the prophetess in Luke chapter 2. I want to talk about this woman. It's a very strange name. You will never think of Anna. But let's talk about Anna, because as I was studying, it's like, this is true. Luke 2:36. Now there was one Anna. Let's do it in a new, thank you, New King James. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. Remember how I was telling you that you are not just a number? God knows your name, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, where that one was born. Before then, they moved and relocated. He knows the whole story about you. You are sitting here, he knows your whole story.
Yes.
See, this Anna is the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And Anna came in that instant, gave thanks to the Lord. She was blessing the Lord Jesus. He had just been brought into the temple at around age 40 days. You know, there was the Jewish custom. You bring the child in to present them before the Lord. And Anna was a prophetess, one of the people who spoke about the Lord. But I want to say something about Anna. Anna at this age was around 100 years old. When Jesus, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus at age 40 days and brought Jesus to come and be presented in the temple. And Anna, this old woman, comes up and speaks about the redemption, speaking about the salvation. That's saying this is the answer to the problem statement God had. I want to talk about Anna, not Mary. Because the Bible says she's been serving God with prayer and fasting. What was she praying and fasting about? That's a big question. If you go a little bit higher or previous to 36, Luke 2:25, there was another person, Simeon, a man. When they brought Jesus in, the Bible says there was a man in Jerusalem in verse 25 whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he will not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That is, he had seen the solution to God's problem statement. He was going to be alive. He too was a very old man. He comes in verse 27. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took Jesus in his arms and blessed, and God said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon was waiting for the salvation. Anna was waiting for the salvation. But they were not just waiting, they were praying. The question is, what were they praying about, these people? This was all they were doing night and day, praying. And I believe very much that Anna was praying to see this Messiah. I got to see this salvation, this solution. I know it because if you go to Daniel, remember Daniel, aged man, maybe around age 95, he was there in a long time before all this, when Jesus came. No, this was a long time ago. The children of Israel, they were in captivity, and there they were. And he had read in the books, in their scrolls, that the children of Israel will be in captivity for 70 years. And here it was 69 and a half years they were in captivity. And he's saying, "God, okay, what's up? It's almost time. It's time for us to all go back home." But the Bible says he started to fast and pray. He is praying. He knows what ought to happen, and he's praying. And I want us to look at what happened. Then I'll tie it back to Anna for you. The Bible says in Daniel 9, verse 2. In the first year, in the Amplified, in the first year of this king's reign, Daniel understood from the books the number of years which, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass by before the desolations which had been pronounced on Jerusalem should end. And it was supposed to be 70 years. And he starts to pray, and in verse 20, he says, "While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel," verse 21, "yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the former vision, being caused to fly swiftly, came near to me and touched me. Verse 23, Gabriel says to Daniel, at the beginning of your prayers, the word giving an answer went forth, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. I want to tie it all up together. Somebody is familiar with the word of God enough to know that this should be happening, but I don't see movement. Somebody goes before God and says, God, you are always true to your word. It has to happen, like you said. I am not going to leave until this thing happens. It must happen. Simeon did it. Anna did it. If you go to James 5:16, in the Amplified, James 5:16, the B part of it, it says, the honest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. That power there is the dunamis of God, the power, the miraculous power. But it says it makes that power available, dynamic. That is, no matter what the circumstances is, no matter the shifts in the spirit, it will move and shift. The power will flex and move, grow, reduce, modulate itself. But that thing must happen. The prayer made the power available. That power that is disbursed in the spirit caused the ministry of it activates the ministry of angels. It did it in the time of Daniel. Daniel stayed there. There was one prayer he was praying for. This is where we get our Daniel fast prayer from. 21 days. He didn't hear anything. He stayed there. He said, I'm not leaving. God, this word, I must hear it. And then Gabriel. Have you ever heard of an angel called Gabriel? Where did he go that you know? Tell me. He went to Mary. Is this same Gabriel that went to Daniel? This same Gabriel. Hundreds, almost thousands of years apart. Somebody was praying and then suddenly there's movement in the spirit. And God says, move, move, move. And it's moving and it's turning divine connections, warfare in the spirit. For 21 days, Daniel is there praying and insisting. And demonic forces rose up as Gabriel was coming. Demonic spirits started to attack him and he couldn't get through to Daniel. And that's why it took 21 days. The first time, the minute Daniel started to pray, within a few minutes, Gabriel was there. The second time, Daniel is praying, it took 21 days. And Gabriel, the angel, told me, I've been trying to come since the day you started praying. But there are princes and principalities in the spirit. They opposed me. And Michael, the guardian angel of Israel, had to come and help me break through. Now I am here 21 days later to give you what you need. Amen. Prayer. And fasting. Amen. Anna did not leave the temple night and day. She kept praying and fasting. I believe Anna birthed Jesus before Mary even knew.
Yes.
In the realm of the spirit.
Yes.
She prayed, she fasted. She prayed, she fasted. Simeon prayed, fasted. Prayed, fasted. Prayed. We will not go until we see the salvation of the Lord. As that prayer is going out, forces are moving. Do you know how many angels were involved in the birth of the Lord Jesus? We can count it. Are these the ones that were revealed to us? The one that came to Mary. The one that came to came to Mary, went to Zacharias first, because that's what could not be done without John the Baptist. So one went, is this same Gabriel going everywhere? Hello? God said to tell you. Hello? God said to tell you. And as they're praying and fasting, there are things moving in the spirit. And they're birthing this thing. But you can't see them, but they're birthing it.
Amen.
In the realm of the spirit.
Amen.
The woman who births God's will.
Yes.
You got to be there birthing it. Birthing, insisting with God and saying, It has to happen.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And as it is birthed and disbursed, this is, God had spoken it hundreds and thousands of years before, that the Savior is going to be born. It came a point in time, in the annals of time, that it was around that time that this Savior ought to be born. And then you needed a few people that stood in God's presence to start to pray so that the power is disbursed. And so you start to see angelic activity, fast, furious movements happening. Birthing the will of God. And nobody, who knew, if God didn't put Anna or Simeon, we would never know that this happened, ever. Herod was supposed to killed 2,000 children. Jesus escaped. Who prayed? Prayer had been happening. Angel came and told Joseph, carry your family, go to Egypt now. Prayer.
Yes.
Bring that child back. Herod has died. And you keep seeing this happening. People had prayed it for years before the Lord, before Mary, who said yes, that biological yes, that you can use her egg and I can carry in my womb and deliver and nurture. Before that one even showed up, a few things had happened. Birthing God's will in the place of prayer. Faith, believing that if God said it, it has to happen. How many women are willing to birth? Do I want to birth? Those things that we're believing God for are not going to happen at the time they're supposed to happen unless we interact with God. And you know what? Nobody can interact with God on your behalf like you would. I don't even know your story, so forgive me if I'm not praying about it. I don't even know what you're going through. Unless God prophetically opens my eyes to see it, I won't even know to pray. So then you need to birth the will of God for your life, for your family, for your lineage in the place of prayer. Amen. The woman who partners with God and births his will. Amen.
Amen.
It is serious business. It doesn't have to be hard, but it has to be done. There's got to be someone standing in the gap for that child. Yes. Women, mothers, mentors, somebody's got to be praying. Amen. Somebody's got to be praying.
Amen.
I don't care how old your child is. They may be 40, they may be 10, they may be 2. There are a few things that will never happen unless you stay in the place of prayer. It's not hard. 5 minutes is good. It's still prayer.
Amen.
Don't think, oh, I have to be this gym. I fast. I have to be an Anna. Day and night in the temple. You don't need all that.
Amen.
Some are called to be that. And Anna was a prophetess. So she did it. But God will not say no to your own prayer. No matter how short it is. Just do it based on the word.
Yes.
I don't have too much time today, so I'm going to stick with this prayer line. Let's talk about that prayer line. It has to be an importunate kind of prayer. In Luke 18:1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That is, don't give up. You got to pray. And when you are praying, let's talk about prayer. You are not the emissary of the devil. If you are praying for your husband, don't go there and be accusing him before God. God, do you know what he did yesterday? He doesn't need all that from you. Somebody has said, I'm not the accuser of the brethren. I will not be taking that into his presence. If the devil wants to come and accuse them, that's his ministry. For me, When I get there, Lord, I want to thank you for James. I want to thank you because you love him with an everlasting love. Lord, I surround him with faith and love. I thank you because your angels are going to and fro. You are connecting the dots for him with the right friends, right people. And you are making sure that the angels push out of his way all those with bad influence. He is the leader. I'm coming with God's word. And it's a word that I will not say, no, God, I'm not leaving your presence until all these things you said about my child happen. It must happen. It has to happen. Whether I see it or not, it must happen. The word says it. They're the children of the ministers of the Lord. They that be planted in the house of God. They are. They must bring forth fruit in season. This, my child.
Amen.
Oh, he's going with gang. Who said gang? He's not going with any gang. Lord, this is what you and I said. And you go there. And then, so that importunate kind of prayer, that one that will not give up, that will not lose heart, that woman that says, that's not our covenant, God. I won't go there and say, Lord, Edie, do you know Edie? What I'm hearing about him now, he's flocking without. No. I go in there and say, Father, I want to thank you for Edie. That young, strong, courageous man. Thank you because your path, his path is straight, is lit with the word of God. He desires the word of God. When he wakes up, he's thinking about you. When he's going to bed. When you and God are, you are talking about that. God is saying, yeah, girl, that's it. Go ahead, tell me about it. Angel. What are you doing still waiting? Did you not hear everything she just said? Go make it happen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous woman availeth much. Disburses power. Dynamic in his power. He's going and the ED is going and one young hot skirt girl came. And the mama is saying, no, he's righteous. He's a righteous man. And the girl is coming and the angel said, move, move.
Amen.
The mama is saying, Lord, I thank you. All righteous ladies around him. They're speaking word. They're speaking life. I rebuke every demonic activity. I plead the blood of Jesus. The blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. It's pleading protection. He's speaking provision. All his needs are met. He cannot be pulled into a harlot's house. Harlot, unless you want to die, move. Move now.
Mm-hmm.
Importunate prayer. You birth it in the spirit. God says yes and amen. Even God is saying amen. Yes. There's a Greek word called homologio. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Hold fast. That word confession is homologio. It means saying the same thing that God said. Same thing. Daniel said, God, you said 70 years. It is 70. Oh, yeah? Let's go. Let's do it. It's God. I don't care what I see. It is 70 years. We're 69.83 years. What's going on? What's up, Lord? Let's go. Let's go. And God said, I did say that. Angels, move. Who's going to birth his will in the place of prayer? I want to say, no matter what you see, especially biological mothers, and you know they're different ages, or even you be an adoptive mother, your child goes through different phases. There's that part where you can actually train them. That's when they listen.
Yes.
Then there's that part where they're starting to discover that, I'm a human. I am a human. You can't be telling me what to do. And then there's that part that they realize they're human, they still need their parents. It's really dynamic, actually, as it goes. And then when you get to a point, It's like you know you can't really tell them what to do. They are of that age. You don't stop, though. You don't need to tell them what to do. But you do know where you need to go.
Yes.
You talk to the Lord.
Yes.
And he hears you. I always believe that there's a special grace upon the mother that before they start speaking, the Father in heaven hears.
Yes.
He's listening. So no matter what you see, just trust and speak. There's the part of prayer and then the part of just confession. That is what you say about them. Because sometimes they come up looking really crazy after you've just finished praying all this prayer and they do the worst thing ever. No, you say, I know you. Boy, you got to be doing the right thing. You are of God. And they're doing the worst thing. Getting on your last, the last of the last nerves, like the one that you have reserved for the last. They're on it, trampling on it, and you just feel like just smacking them. But now they're too old to be smacked. So the thing is, you know where you're. I hope you have kneelers. I got kneelers for everywhere I go. These are kneelers that like shock, you know, if you're kneeling and your knees hurt. I have them in every place I go where I know I'm going to stay. I have kneelers everywhere. When many times I pray lying down on my bed. I don't do much. I'm praying in the spirit. I don't. But sometimes it's like, okay, let's go. Just pull them out. Father! And the Lord knows when I come with Father! It's a different type of prayer. He's like, Father, can you see? Can you see? Even that shouting doesn't get him. It's like you come with the word and says, Father. Okay, now. In Jeremiah, and then he says, all right, let's talk. What do you want? What do you need?
Yes.
So you start to activate it. Yes. Because the angels listen to the voice of his word. Yes. That's how they go. So, who is willing to birth God's will? I want to do one last one. So much I have, but let's talk about Mary. Mary, who then said yes. Yes to carrying this solution. It's a big deal. I was kind of looking at what Mary did in Luke 1, 30, maybe. Let's see, with the one that was Luke 1, 38, she says to the angel, Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She had before then asked, how will this happen? Because she's a virgin, she's never known a man, and she's supposed to birth the Savior. And it's all supernatural. So she asked a very valid question. It's like, okay, how is that going to happen, really? And even when the angel said, it wasn't like she really understood it, because no one's ever done that before. The angel says to her in Luke 1, 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. What does that really mean? The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. But this is God's solution. He's already planned it. He was going to work. But to a human, it didn't make human sense. Let's just say it that way. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. That Son of God was what was needed, whose blood could actually cleanse the human race and bring us back in fellowship and become God's family again. So God already had a plan. We will say at work, he solutioned it out. He'd already, you bring a problem and say, okay, let's solution it right now. Or, okay, let's take this offline. Let's not solution it right here. God had solutioned it out. We need a God man, a son of God. And that's what Gabriel came to tell Mary. And the angel also said in verse 37, when Mary was looking at him like, okay, the Holy Spirit will come. will overshadow you. Then the Son will be the Son of God. And then he says, even your cousin Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant. Elizabeth, at almost age 80. Ah, okay, something is going on. And then the angel says, for with God, nothing is impossible. That was it. Mary said, not a problem. Let it happen. Just like it said. That was it. What Mary did not know was she was saying yes to a lot. And I want to leave us with that today. Mary was saying, one, I'm willing to be your human female. She didn't understand all this. He's saying, let it be to me according to your will. What she was saying, which she was too young, I think, to understand is, I'm going to put aside all my own personal plans and agenda. Every single thing I had thought, maybe she was like age 17 there. I'm going to put everything aside and I'm going to take on God's agenda. And God's call or birthing his will is very much like that. Very much like that. Most of the time you're going to have to set aside what it is you had thought you were going to do and take on his agenda. Yes. Now you will not lose, but it's not what you originally planned. So now here's a 17-year-old girl who's saying yes to what she doesn't know, totally unknown. It's just a word given to her, few 5 minutes interaction. You're saying yes to what? You really don't know what it is. And her life proves it as you keep going. So she's supposed to say yes. She's going to carry this baby for 9 months because every human is 9 months and some days. So she's going to bring this baby to term. What no one told her was she was going to have to deal with Joseph, which God quickly sent a message. Send the same Gabriel to Joseph. Go tell him. I'm the one. She didn't go anywhere else. I'm the one. Marry her. Just carry her like that. Joseph said yes. See all the activity of angels. Okay, so he said yes, the marry. Nobody told her that when she's almost at term, she's going to be on a donkey. Do you know how uncomfortable that is? Go all the way from where they're living to Bethlehem. Then get there. There will be no room for you. You are going to have to, and you are in labor. Now you are in labor. This is your first child. You've never been in labor before. First child. And you are in labor, and there is no room available. Nothing. For miles around. Then you get into this barn where there are cows and everything is just, let me just have the child. Nobody said that. But no one also told her that she will be visited by all these wise men and they're going to bring gold, frankincense, myrrh. No one told her that they will be singing about her baby to the shepherds in the field. But nobody also told her they were going to run from there to Egypt. She'd never been to Egypt in her life. No one told her that from Egypt they were going to come, not back to home, but to Nazareth. Do you know how many places she's lived in a very short time for this child, this one child that she did not ask for? So her whole life is completely turned upside down. But imagine you're the mother of the Savior of the world. I mean, you can't make this up. This is just amazing. But with that amazing path is the willingness and the yieldedness. It's like, Lord, whatever you want to do. Simeon told her when she took her baby in 40 days that an arrow is going to pierce your heart. Nobody told her that she was going to see her son with a crown of thorns, being beaten into a pulp, skin all torn, blood shedding, being granted no justice. Nobody told her that. Nobody told her that he was. The angel didn't tell her that he was going to die. At that first, that very first encounter. And we didn't hear about continuous visitations from angels. We only knew the first part of the child's life, Jesus' life. So she was running kind of blind, just going. Amen. Yielded to God. Amen. But birthing God's will.
Yes.
So it's a lot of unknowns. But for the woman of faith who trusts in a God who loves you, it's a great journey. Amen. and there it is never boring. I can testify, no dull day, no dull moment. You are never bored. that I can assure you. Almost 40 years of doing this, and I can tell you there is no boredom. So how many women do we have today that are willing to yield their vessel? There's one thing that struck me. You know how we say, I call first dibs. So Jesus was ministering one day, and Mary and the family sent a message. After all, I'm Jesus' mother. Tell him we want to see him. Jesus said, who? You and who? I don't know you. These people here listening to my word, they are my family. She couldn't even call first dibs on her child that she carried 9 months. No, he was in ministry mode, and that was it. At the end, when Jesus was about to yield his spirit, he looks at his mother and says to John, this is now your mother. Do you know Mary had about 5 or 6 other children? But Jesus, being the first child who always took care of his mother, knew that he couldn't trust them. He needed a disciple that would help, because Mary was moving from mother to disciple. She was moving from unsaved to saved. Will no longer be his mother. This child will become her savior. And therefore, the savior is handing her over to someone she's sure will ground her in the new dispensation. All this twists and turns, but exciting, full of the disbursement of power of God like you've never known before. That's what attends the woman who is willing to birth God's will. I want us to stand to our feet today. There's so much more that we could talk about, but I want you to think of the opportunity of partnering with God for one of his many solutions to man's problems. You're going to have to yield your will, though. You're going to have to say, yes, Lord. You're going to have to say, whatever you want, Lord, let's get it done. Yes. You're going to have to say, Lord, I'm willing to pray, be there, just whatever you want. Yeah. You see that you don't have to be a biological mom to birth God's will. Anna had no child. Praying for at least 80 years and birth the Lord. I want us to our women today, I just want to invite you. Do you mind coming to the front? I just want us to do a prayer of consecration. Our women, can you come to the front? Not my will, but your will be done, O God. I just want you to yield your vessel, just your heart, your vessel. I don't know what you think about all the things that have been said today, but I know God is yearning for quite a few female humans that could help him birth all the things he wants to get done. The men have their place, but we're talking about women today. Can you yield the womb of your spirit and help the Lord birth? There are things he cannot get done without us, and he's asking you today. Let's lift our hands. Our senior pastor will come pray for us. But before he comes, I want us just yield. Yield. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
While we're praying, the Lord is calling us to take the next step on our journey. like Anna, like Mary, like Ruth, like Esther. Wherever we have been, whatever our experiences have been, the Lord is calling us. I have more, he's saying. I have more for you. I have more for you. And so the challenge that his handmaiden has given us today, he has given us through his handmaiden, is, will you yield to my invitation? Will you accept my call? Will you stand in partnership with me and help me birth what I have prepared for you? And like Mary, if we will say what Mary said, if we will yield to him from our heart, then that's the first part of it done. Like we heard today, there are so many things we don't know and there are so many things that are not told us. But if we will take that first step, let it be done to me according to your word, according to your will. If we will say that, like the confession says, I say yes to your way and yes to your will. Hallelujah. If we will take on that spirit of sacrifice, glory to God. If we will choose him as our priority and make him our destiny, that's the first step done. And then Holy Spirit brings virtue. Virtue is power. Virtue is character. Virtue is kindness. Virtue is wisdom. When we say yes, then the Holy Spirit brings virtue. And then miracle happens. No wonder the angel said to him, the Spirit of God will overshadow you. The power of the highest. Hallelujah. So as we yield to him today, we present ourselves. Father, I thank you for all of your handmaidens. I thank you, Father God, for the word that we have received today. Thank you, Father God, for that supernatural word that has come with great power. We receive that word. We receive it. We thank you for it. And Father God, we yield to you. We yield to that word. God, we open up ourselves as your vessels in the name of Jesus. That through us, you will make a difference in our generation. Through us, you will make a difference in this world. Hallelujah. That through us, you will make a difference in this society, in this corrupted world, in this ungodly world. That through us, you will cause your light to shine. And we thank you. We yield to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, overshadow us. Amen. Holy Spirit, take us over. Amen. Not according to what we think, but according to what you desire. Amen. Overshadow your handmaidens today. Amen. Overshadow these precious women today. Amen. Overshadow these precious mothers today. Amen. Overshadow these precious grandmothers today. Amen. And those that are connected with us in the spirit in this service. And we thank you, God. We thank you, Father. That, Lord, we will reap the harvest of our obedience. Obedience to your holy word. That through us, God, you will produce new harvest, new generations. Through us, Father God, you produce even a fresh generation of godly people and godly nations. We thank you, Father. We bless you. And we pray, Father God, for your handmaiden who has ministered to us. Lord, we ask that you replenish her. Fill her cup to overflowing. Oh, God. Anoint her afresh. Anoint her afresh. There is work yet ahead. There is work yet ahead. Come on, Pastor Timo, let me pray for you here. There is work yet ahead. Hallelujah. There is work yet ahead to be done. Anoint her with fresh oil. Amen. With a fresh grace. Amen. Of the Holy Spirit. Anoint her. Yes. God, help her to take the next step.
Amen.
What an adventure. She described that adventure today. She said 40 years of no boredom. And yet she hasn't seen anything yet. Enlarge the coast of our heart. Help our Father. Help her to see. Help her to know. Help her to step into that which you have prepared. We stand and we declare that concerning you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit for the next level, for the next level of your assignment, for the next phase and the next season of your assignment. Receive that anointing now. Receive that anointing now in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, Father. We give you praise for your empowerment. For your empowerment. I just want to pray before I stop here in my spirit. Let's pray together for these are precious women. Something I'm hearing about people feeling weak, people feeling tired. And some of them are saying, I've been around that birthing stool for so long. And I've given all my strength, and I don't see the seed. And the Lord is asking me to impart fresh grace and fresh unction upon you today. You know the womb that was given to you? That spiritual womb will never dry up. Amen. Do you know that? Do you know that? Your natural biological womb will extend as far as your faith will carry it. Amen. Like Sarah, Bible says, even in her old age, she receives strength. Amen. To bring forth seed. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So your biological womb will extend as far as your faith will go. Amen. But do you know your spiritual womb never dries up? Amen. Your spiritual womb never dries up. And today, as you receive this fresh impartation, amen, your spiritual womb is receiving fresh life. Amen. It's receiving fresh enablement, amen, fresh empowerment, amen, to bring forth. Amen. To bring forth. Amen. Would you raise your hands to heaven in the name of Jesus? I impart fresh grace upon you, amen, in different areas of your life, whether it's in your spiritual walk, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your career and your marriage, whether it's in your raising your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whether it's in finances, in business, wherever it is, receive fresh grace right now. Receive fresh grace right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And the Bible says the glory of the latter house will surpass the former. So your glory is rising higher. This is a day of shining for you. This is a day of rising up for you. Father, we thank you. We honor you today. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. 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 Come on, let's bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Tinu. That's an amazing word. My goodness, that's an amazing word. It's nothing to add to it. It's just music to my ears. Music to my ears. I love the calling of God. When I hear the calling of God to women to rise up in the spirit, I can't tell you what that does to me. I love everything else that we do. Rise up in our profession, rise up in our career, rise up in business, rise up in finances. I love it. But there is nothing as great as rise up in the spirit for a woman. Nothing. And that's what we receive today. So I thank you for yielding your vessel. And I thank all of you, our precious women. Congratulations. And you all represent generations here today. Hallelujah. You represent generations. And through you, the Lord is going to do an amazing work. Amen.